Vince Lombardi, a great football coach from the Green Bay Packers, once said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And Mike Hawks, you fished Lake Cumberland, and it had to be tough fishing for you there.
Yes, sir, it was. Lake Cumberland was a lake that none of us had really ever been to before, because they hadn't had a major tournament there, to my knowledge, and since I've been fishing. Everybody went in with a really fresh attitude, and I think that really helped me a lot. A lot of people had a bad attitude toward that tournament. They looked at it, and it was a tough, clear lake with not much cover. There was logs floating everywhere. People were knocking their lower units off, and we were talking about long runs to go anywhere to catch them, and the length limits were kind of scatterbrained. Had an 18-inch limit on smallmouth, a 12-inch limit on spots, and a 15-inch limit on largemouth. The banks were all pretty much straight up and down. There weren't any flats to fish, and it didn't suit a lot of people's fishing styles, including my own. But I had a real good attitude toward what was going on in that tournament, and it really paid off for me.
Well, as we set this interview up, you mentioned that not knowing much about the lake might have helped you.
I believe so. I didn't have any preconceived ideas about where you need to go and where you need to catch them and how you need to catch them. I just looked at it from a totally fresh standpoint of here's this lake, it's clear, it's rocky. There's not a lot of places for them to spawn except these little rock slides that were coming off the bank. And it was kind of late in the spawn. The spawn was almost over for the smallmouth, which it was obvious the smallmouth were going to win the tournament one way or the other. And I went out the second day of practice. First day of practice, I went and looked for bedfish. And there were still quite a few largemouth on beds. The smallmouth were bedding a little bit deeper, and you couldn't see them very well. But the largemouth were up shallow, but they were really very difficult to catch. So I made up my mind the first day of practice that I probably wasn't going to mess with any largemouth on beds just because of the difficulty. You can get hung up on one that you can't catch and spend 2 or 3 hours, and all of a sudden your whole day's shot. So, I picked the spinning rod up and went with the 6-pound fluorocarbon and Andre's Reaction Innovations flirt worm and just went to fishing and had about 16 pounds the second day of practice. And when I did that, I pretty much knew what I was going to do the rest of the tournament.
Well, finesse fishing from a guy that lives in South Texas just doesn't sound right, but 6-pound fluorocarbon, and you rigged that bait different too, right?
Yeah, I was rigging it with a little rig Andre showed me, and it's a wacky worm rig is really all it is. It takes a lot of patience to fish it because it takes so long to get to the bottom. And basically, instead of fishing a big wacky worm, a 6-inch wacky worm, we're fishing a 4.5-inch wacky worm with a small hook and light line. But those fish will eat, especially when they're on beds. Again, you know, you said where I'm from, it kind of is ironic that I was using that kind of tackling. You're right, because we have basically the best fish in the United States here in South Texas, and it's all power fishing. I mean, extreme power fishing with a lot of braided line, a lot of heavy weights, not just the fish, but we use 3/4 ounce and a quarter jigs all the time. Fishing deep grass and thick brush. But when I was a kid, you know, I started out wade fishing some real clear streams when I was like in elementary school. I used a spinning rod. So I've been around spinning rods since I was, you know, in short pants. So it's kind of like going back to my roots almost.
Well, Mike, you hail from Sabinal, Texas, which is down by Amistad. What a great fishery that is, but you've got a lot of good fisheries down in that neck of the woods.
Yes, sir, we're very fortunate. You know, Amistad's the one that's getting all the press lately, but we've got two more lakes that are equally as good. Falcon Lake down south of Amistad on the Rio Grande River, it's probably better right now. There was a tournament there yesterday, and I believe there was about 100 teams as a team tournament. There were 11 sacks over 30 pounds. It took 28.5 to get a check. There was a 1208 weighed in. There were 5 more over 11 weighed in. It's just silly. And all my friends around here, around home, get to go fish these lakes with all these giant fish in them. And I get to travel all over the country driving a truck 17 or 18 hours to go fishing for 12 and 13 inches, hoping I can catch them about half the time. It's kind of ironic.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time. 1988, I think you started. But you've kind of had a rags-to-riches, to riches-to-rags journey. Tell me a little bit about, you know, starting in 1988 and what's gone on for Mike Hawks.
Well, when I was a kid, I knew what I wanted to do. You know, I was in high school. I read Bassmaster magazine religiously. And I wanted to be the next Rick Klein. Rick Klein was always my idol and my hero. And when he won the Classic back-to-back in 76 and 77, you know, it was done for me. That's what I was going to be. But, you know, I came from a kind of an economically challenged background, just the area I live in. And, you know, we were very lower middle class. Live 100 miles from the nearest lake, which is Amistad. So getting started in professional fishing was going to be a long thing for me. So went to college, played football at Texas Tech, got a degree, became a coach, coached football, basketball, track, tennis, and small high school there where I live. Saved up my money and bought a bass boat. I bought my first bass boat in 1986. And 2 years later, I quit my job and became a full-time pro. You know, just because I didn't know any better, you know, ignorance bliss sometimes, and just on adrenaline and enthusiasm, I did pretty well. There was only six tournaments then. There was a six BASS Invitationals, and they took like 35 people to the Classic. And the very first year I fished them, I didn't make the Classic. I just barely missed it. The next year I did make the Classic. I think I was number 11 on the Angler of the Year list. And while we were, that was in the Classic of 1990 that Klein won at the James River. And I had a car wreck, a very serious car wreck, when I was crashing for that tournament up in Virginia. Tore my neck up, broke my jaw, kind of messed me up pretty bad. Unfortunately, there was no money in the sport at that time, and I couldn't afford health insurance, so I didn't have any. Even though the wreck wasn't my fault, it basically caused me to go broke. Had $28,000 in medical bills, and had to sue the other guy's insurance company and got about $18,000, and the lawyers got half of that. So I was left with no money to pay a lot of bills. And even though I'd had a good year fishing, there was only six tournaments there, and I think I won a grand total of about $7,000 that year. And it cost me about $6,000 to fish the tournament. So I was pretty much done. I had to quit fishing and go back to teaching biology and coaching football again.
Man, it's changed for you now, because you look at what's going on for you now. You're 13th in the FLW Tour points. You know, have the big win at Cumberland this year, and it looks like the future's pretty bright for Mike Hawks.
Well, I certainly hope so. I'm one of those guys that it's been a slow rise to get to the level that I'm at now, and hopefully, you know, you don't want one of those guys that you come up like a meteor and then poof, you're gone. You know, you burn out. So hopefully I'll have a little staying power and be able to continue. When it's your turn, it's your turn. I felt like I've worked a long time for this, even though it's been broken up. You know, I started back full-time fishing again in about 2000 with the FLW, and they have they've put enough money in the sport where now you can actually afford to win. You can win enough money to afford to make a living. I don't have a lot of sponsors. Skeeter and Yamaha have been real good to me. Without them, it would be very, very difficult for me to have gotten to the point where I'm at now. But other than Skeeter Yamaha, there are no more sponsors that help me out at all. Everything comes out of my own pocket. I was real surprised to learn that I'd won like $300,000 now with the FLW just in the last 4 or 5 years. They announced that the other day at one of the tournaments, and I was it gives me hope that there'll be more money in the sport in the next few years, and things will keep going well.
Well, Mike, there's no question. You know, one of our buddies, Wade Middleton, you and I are friends with him. He mentioned that you're probably the best fisherman that he knows is probably relatively unknown, but maybe here at Bass Fan Radio we can do something about that.
Well, I hope so, and I sure appreciate any help I can get always. You know, the Bass Fan World Rankings are real important to me. I just came off a bad tournament at Lake Old Hickory. I just miscalculated the whole thing and really finished poorly, and I was up to about 13th in the world rankings. I'm sure that's going to hurt me and drop me down quite a few places, but hopefully I'll be able to work my way back up, because I want to really try to get in that Top Gun tournament y'all have in the fall and fish that. That's a, you know, that's a really big deal, because that takes the very top of both circuits of anglers and puts them together. I'd really like to be able to fish that and do well in it.
We'd like to have you there. We're looking forward to it in September. And, Mike, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Well, thank you, Terry. Anytime.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.